In the remote mountains of Tennessee, they have a type of religion in which people get saved in the spring, grow cold in the summer, backslide in the autumn, and fall away completely in the winter. Then they get saved all over again in the spring revival. A story goes that the revival had gone on about 10 days, and people knew it was reaching its climax. A certain man came into the meeting and sat in the back row. The next night, he moved halfway toward the front. The third night, he was sitting in the front row. The fourth night, he broke out in prayer, "Lord, fill me." Over to one side, there was a woman who knew the man well. She cautioned the Lord, "Careful, Lord, he leaks." Seems that that type of religion they have in them, thar Tennessee mountains, is some weirdo kind of religion if people need to get saved all over again every spring. Looks to me like they never really get saved in the first place, or every successive time. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is another thing altogether. We receive Holy Spirit when we are baptized or when we first believe, but we're not filled or baptized with Holy Spirit until we ask our Father God for his good and perfect gift given through our perfect Savior, Jesus the Christ. We each need to experience our own personal Pentecost. We just need to ask, sort of like that Tennessee man, but in our case, fully intending to the best of our ability, like taking a lifelong wedding vow to always honor and obey Holy Spirit, the very presence of God within us, once he comes into us with power and signs and wonders. That first Pentecost in about the year 33 occurred 50 days after Passover, the crucifixion of Christ. That's why it's called Pentecost, which is Greek Pentecost, meaning 50 days, or Pentagon, meaning five-sided. But this was definitely not the first ever Pentecost, for there had been Pentecost days for thousands of years. This second of the three high feast days to which all Jewish men were required to return to Jerusalem to worship followed Passover and preceded Tabernacles, which occurs in the autumn. The three great festivals thus were Pascha, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, to use their original Hebrew names. Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, also known as booths. We know when the first Pesach, Passover, occurred. It was in Egypt when the death angel passed over the homes of the Hebrew slaves and brought death to all other firstborn of both the Egyptians and their livestock. The very first Shavuot, Pentecost, happened 50 days later at Mount Sinai, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments and the law, officially betrothing himself to the Israelites, declaring himself to be their forever faithful husband, keeper, and protector. But something happened while the people waited for Moses to come down from the mountain. Remember? Egged on by some loud-mouthed evil miscreants, the people grew impatient and demanded that Aaron produce a real God they could see and worship, and, in Aaron's words, after melting down some gold, out came this golden calf. God on the mountain was painstakingly writing out in his own hand the words of the everlasting marriage covenant with the people, while down below, they'd already forsook him and were having orgies around a statue of gold. The main ringleaders and wretched, wicked idolaters, all 3,000 of them, at Moses' order, were killed by the faithful Levites. Our God, the one and only living God, is the God of restoration. That's his business. He's been in this business from even before the creation of this world. For from the time the first of the angels rebelled along with Lucifer, God has been progressing on an intricate, meticulous, long-range plan of redemption and restoration of all things. Of course, we can see this with Christ Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. But it plays out in every perfect way, leaving no stone unturned. So on this first day of Pentecost, after Christ had come, yet another step in the restoration took place. For as 3,000 had died on the very first original Shavuot Pentecost, so on this first Pentecost, after Christ's resurrection, 3,000 new souls were added to the newly being restored kingdom of God on earth after Peter concludes his first sermon. Acts 2:41 reads, "Those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all." So, at Mount Sinai, God came into relationship with his people, giving them the law of love, the secret to knowing him. Well, they turned the law, which was supposed to free them to live in beautiful fellowship with God, what had originally been the case before Adam and Eve's fall in the garden, the people now turned it into a prison of binding regulations that no one could possibly keep, thus ensuring that all people would forever fall short of coming to God, to him, the source of all goodness and life. After Christ's work, the next Pentecost, the next Shavuot, God in Christ now gave Holy Spirit his very presence, thus coming into relationship with his people once again, but this time dwelling in their very beings and bodies. And this time, as those first believers would soon discover, with an unexpected twist. For just as the priests would on every Shavuot offer up two identical loaves of bread on the altar, now, at this new Shavuot after Christ, these two loaves can clearly be seen as representing the two peoples, Jew and Gentile, coming together as the one new humanity that Christ came to establish in himself, in his body, as he sacrificed himself on the cross. The coming of Holy Spirit on this new Shavuot, this new day of Pentecost, began with a wind, then with flames of fire which didn't burn up anything. The 120-plus disciples occupying that big upstairs meeting room suddenly began speaking the voice of God, declaring his wonders and wondrous works in all the languages of the hundreds of thousands of visitors to Jerusalem for the festival of Shavuot. All could hear in their native languages. Another restoration, because now the curse of the Tower of Babel was reversed. And while every person retained their own languages, yet God's word was being proclaimed in every language of people there, so all could understand in their own heart language. The Holy Spirit comes upon people and groups over and over again, and sometimes even in the spectacular, visible form of flames, which don't burn up anything, but heals the wounds people carry. On a day-to-day basis, Holy Spirit moves in us as the very breath of God he is, as like unto a wind. As Lord Jesus, who obviously was and is in the know, describes him in John 3:8, "For the Spirit wind blows as it chooses. You can hear it sound, but you don't know where it came from or where it's going. So it is the same with those who are Spirit born." This is expressed in a modern Japanese worship song. Its translation in all caps and its transliteration is on your bulletin insert front and back. Though languages hinder us, yet through Holy Spirit we all become truly one in Christ, just as Lord Jesus prayed. Therefore, fight today's Babel-style global government newly forming now. Don't forget, ask God for Holy Spirit now and every day.